This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Hello, welcome to the Savage Nation podcast. Today we have a special treat for you. With an interview with Dr. Scott Atlas that was done a while ago. And of course, the title is It's Time to Reopen America. Now, the reason I'm replaying this for you is because when it originally appeared, this podcast was extremely controversial, as was Dr. Atlas. Shortly after Dr. Atlas appeared on this program, I contacted the White House. And shortly after that, Dr. Atlas was within the inner circle with Donald Trump, trying to advise clowns like Fauci and Mrs. Scarf on the proper way to approach the COVID epidemic. Unfortunately for Dr. Atlas, the vermin in the media ripped him apart, and he was soon dismissed from the White House while that clown Fauci is still there. So today's podcast was ahead of its time, and for today, it is right on time. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening. This is Michael Savage.
We're cruising at 35,000 feet. The captain has said you can unfasten your seatbelt, settle back, have an adult beverage, grab a honey-coated peanut, and let's enjoy the show. So I got a text over the weekend, which leads into my guest, from a friend of mine who is a retired radiologist, one of the world's leading radiologists. And he says to me, "Savage, it always amazes me how often you are right. I didn't know what he's referring to." He said, "Check out the article in the New York Post by Scott Atlas, MD. Scott was a brilliant neuroradiologist who wrote one of the best books in the field and was way ahead of neuroradiology at Stanford. Hope you're relaxed on this beautiful day. Stay well. Best, H." So I looked up the article on this subject. Science says it's time to start easing the lockdowns. And I'm very proud to tell you, we were lucky enough to get Dr. Scott Atlas on the show. Dr. Atlas, great article. Thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Now, I agree with you for sure. How do you scientifically make the case to reopen the country? On what basis would you recommend it be done?
Sure. We've learned quite a bit since this started, beyond the early projection models. Number one, there's a far lower risk of dying and a very, very small risk of dying, depending upon what your sort of age group and category is. Number two, we know that protecting those who are vulnerable would alleviate any kind of hospital overcrowding. People are older and those with underlying conditions. Number three, we know that by doing this lockdown, we are focusing on COVID-19 at all costs in medical care. And what that means is that we are really, people are dying. We are missing, let's just say, about half of people who have cancer who need chemotherapy are skipping it. 80% of brain surgeries are not being done. Acute stroke patients are not being seen. And the fourth big point is that we know from decades of virology and immunology and basic science that by restricting all interaction among people, we are eliminating the possibility and prolonging the development of population immunity. And we know that not just from virology in general, we also have decades of knowledge about the coronavirus family itself, which this virus is part of. So we know, given the great news that half of people are asymptomatic that are infected and the overwhelming majority do not have a serious disease, that by virtue of them developing antibodies and then other people in low-risk groups also developing antibodies, that breaks up the network of infectivity to vulnerable people, and that's how populations become immune. That's why immunizations are done on a widespread basis, and that although we don't know the antibodies at this point are protective, it would be unexpected if they're not. And we know also, by the way, that scientists working on drug treatments for COVID-19 are thinking about things and investigating things like transfusing blood serum containing antibodies from people who've been infected, and those antibodies would become protective for people who are getting that serum transfusion. That is one of the many drug categories being investigated right now all over the world. So that's a belief that the vast majority of scientists hold.
So, Dr. Atlas, you're for opening up whole cities or just portions of the country?
No, I'm for opening up sort of the philosophy, really, that is correct, done by Dr. Birx and the Trump Task Force. By everything is local, everything is not New York City, but also a targeted way to look at this. Targeted meaning protecting the vulnerable, protecting strictly the people in nursing homes and senior care centers and regulated renters, which should be easy, but realizing that young people don't have a significant risk at all. We can reopen schools. We don't have to have significant social distancing for people who are in their 20s who have no significant risk of a serious disease. We just have to protect the vulnerable, allow the immunity to develop, and reopen society.
Dr. Atlas, are you being listened to by the Trump administration? I mean, you have the height of credentials. You were professor and chief of neuroradiology at Stanford Medical Center from 98 to 2012. You train more than 100 neuroradiology fellows. You are a scientist. You're a clinician. You're making the case to reopen the country in a logical way. I have been banging my head against a stone wall with Governor Newsom, frankly, with the president. I'm getting nowhere, and I've tried to reach them through email, through text, and I don't know why they're not doing this. Have you been consulted by the team?
I think if you listen very carefully to what Dr. Birx says, she's super good, and in fact, there are super great people on the president's task force. This is about strategically reopening. They are looking at that also and doing a great job at looking at that. This kind of information is all over the place right now. In fact, I'm being sort of inundated with interviews, and I'm dealing directly with people in the Senate, in the Congress, in the administration, et cetera.
Good. So they're listening to you. Thank God. That you're being listened to. How did they get the model so wrong, though? I mean, you are saying they're all wonderful people. I'm not so sure of that, but we don't have to argue over that. It wouldn't get us anywhere. How did they get the model so wrong, which resulted in the shutdown of an entire nation?
You know, when you look at models that are done very early, they are by necessity dealing with very, very little fact and just simply mathematical.
All right. So the early stages of it, the projections were much higher, right?
The early projections were that there was a fatality rate of 3%, 4%, 5%. That's just not true. That's wrong. But we know that from the evidence.
What is it really? 0.1, 0.2?
Well, it's tough to say exactly, but we're talking about the order of anywhere from maybe 0.1 to 0.5%. It depends, and it may be lower than that even. We just don't
know.
The more people that we test and the more people we see, if we define an infection as somebody who's positive for the virus and has antibodies or has antibodies, there's a far greater number of people who had the infection and a far lower risk of death.
Amazing. So, Dr. Atlas, the article comes out in the Post. They're taking you know, they're finally recognizing your expertise and what you're saying, that science says it's time to start easing the lockdowns. Why is there still resistance here in the state of California from Governor Newsom?
You know, there's a lot of different styles of governing, and I think it's sort of another conversation is what is the role of government in dictating the behavior of people because the fact is the policies flattened the curve. Everyone really believes that. Flattening the curve was accomplished. Now we have to decide how to do things without harm. There's a massive amount of harm by continuing total economic and total people isolation.
100% right. But, you know, when this was almost at its apex, I was trying to reach Governor Newsom in particular. And I said, look, here are the six counties that have zero cases or almost zero cases. Why don't you open them up? What is it one size fits all with you? And there was no movement. Why are the politicians so limited? Well, you can't answer that. I can't answer it either. They have more power than they've ever dreamed of, number one. And as you well know, bureaucrats love power. But, you know, you raised an interesting point, Dr. Atlas. You said their control of our entire society. That was an interesting statement. Well, do they have the authority, actually, to close a nation down? Did they have this authority in these states?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a legal expert, but what I can tell you is that it seems quite clear that fear has influenced public policy, and there is no place for fear. It should all be about science and common sense and logic, not fear. And that is
okay, so then there's an article. San Francisco had the 1918 flu under control and lifted restrictions, and they got another resurgence. Are you at all concerned that we may see that with the lifting of restrictions?
You know, I think that worst-case scenario projections don't need to be made when we see what's happened with this virus. So, you know, I prefer to look at the evidence, which I've done, use basic science knowledge and logic, and I think that what I'm outlining is the correct pathway. We know there could be another infection. We know, but, you know, as we get later, by the way, we're far more prepared. There's been a tremendous mobilization of resources that's been accomplished. There's been a lot of knowledge to the society, to people in general about how to stay safe. We're going to have probably new regulations on sanitization and restaurants. But that doesn't mean that's not the same thing as locking down society.
Yes. So in other words, we are ready in a way. The hygiene level is much higher. I mean, I've been a hand washer all my life. That's how I was raised. And people used to think I had a neurosis. Now, I think everyone's now a hand washer. Okay. And
we know who to protect right now, which is, I think, very important. And we hope we know who that is really not at risk. To me, opening schools is very logical. Keeping them closed is not. And it also
let me ask you this, Dr. Atlas.
Working.
In the nursing homes where we have logically see a much higher rate of this disease or incidence of this disease, is it possible that the aides themselves are bringing the virus into the homes?
It's absolutely possible. And one of the things I've outlined and in personal communication is that that's one area where I think there must be strict regulation, not only of who can enter and interact with nursing home and senior care center residents, but there's a place where I think mandated testing, prioritized testing, all those who interact with those people really must be cleared from carrying an infection. That is a moral obligation, really.
The reason I ask such a loaded question, and I'm not trying to blame any particular group, but I'm being logical about it, as you are, is because when I mentioned this to the governor's office about these counties which had very low incidence of the disease, I was told, yeah, but the nursing home had a big outbreak. So I'm saying, like, well, wait a minute. So you're going to let a nursing home outbreak close down a whole county? It seems ass-wise backwards to me, and it's not logical medically or epidemiologically. And they have to understand that it could be the aides, as I have said, who were bringing it into the homes to begin with. And I think that's part of the investigation of the epidemic. But in either case, these are big, big discussions that need to be that need to happen. And your article is Science Says It's Time to Start Easing the Lockdowns. I agree with you 100%, and your logic is flawless. And although it was a popular article in the New York Post, I'm glad to hear that people are listening to a man of your scientific magnitude, frankly.
Okay, well, let's hope that things improve quickly.
I hope that you're on the task force sooner than later. Dr. Atlas, thanks for being with us on The Savage Nation. Thank you. What a great guy, right? Smart. It's a pleasure listening to someone who knows what he's talking about. He's a scientist who says it's time to reopen the schools and selectively reopen the country. And as you well know, I agree with that. I've been trying to say the same thing for weeks now. Maybe they'll listen to him. Maybe we've all learned something. But when a man has written more than 120 scientific publications in leading journals, when he's a former professor and chief of neuroradiology at Stanford Med Center from 98 to 2012, when he's written textbooks in the field that have been translated into many languages, he knows what he is talking about. And I think it's time for the task force to listen to some people outside of government who are as brilliant as he is and reopen this nation before there's nothing to reopen for.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
Fakers passing as politicians. It's unbelievable to me how everything has become fake and bad. You know, there used to be a saying, question authority. I didn't know whether it was liberal or conservative. In the Bay Area of San Francisco, which always considered itself to be so far ahead of everyone, people drove around with license plate and placards and bumper stickers, and they used to say, question authority. I didn't know whether that was a liberal saying or a conservative saying or a libertarian saying, but I always questioned authority. And now when I question authority, I'm attacked by the right and the left. And what's interesting to me is that the left is complying with authority. The left has become the sheeple, the ultimate sheeple. They were told to stay home and cower in place, and they did. They never questioned why. They never said, wait a minute, maybe Governor Newsom has it wrong. Maybe Governor Newsom shouldn't have closed the whole state down just because pockets of homeless and those in certain ethnic communities seem to be the areas where the epidemic is breaking out. But I'll shut everything down because Newsom got it wrong. And on a national level, look at New York State. It's no better. How long have I been saying? What are you doing, Governor Cuomo? Why are you shutting down upstate New York when you know and I know it's mainly in the boroughs and also within the boroughs at certain places? So now people are saying, oh, it's time to start easing the lockdowns. For 4 weeks, I've been saying selective quarantine, selective quarantine, selective quarantine. I have been emailing President Trump. I've been emailing Governor Newsom. I'm saying open up the counties that have almost zero COVID-19, or more specifically SARS-CoV-2, if you want to call it correctly. So now we're hearing we're having selective rolling reopenings, exactly what I've been advising for over 4 weeks. But I'm going to ask you, the audience, do you think it's time to reopen America all at once? And what are we all living through right now? What are we living through? What is relevant in your life other than getting back to work and making a living? But let me give you a little story about that. I know a man who owns some supermarkets. He said when this first hit and he needed employees, he had trouble beating them away. Hey, everybody wanted a job. And then the stimulus program came along. And it said, in addition to the unemployment insurance that you're going to get, the idiotic socialist federal government is going to give you another $600 a week. He said, people don't want the jobs anymore. Nobody wants to work. Nobody really wants to work on the bottom. Do you understand that? Because of the $600 on top of the unemployment insurance? But wait, if you think that that's crazy, and it is pretty crazy to disencourage people from working, we have an enemy within this country, several of them, and it starts with Nancy Pelosi. She's totally insane. She's deranged. She's more crazy than Biden. I'm going to play some of her sound bites where she's quoting the Gospel of Matthew in calling for all federal prisoners to be released in the midst of this. Wait, it gets even crazier. Another psychopathic Democrat, this one an overt America hater, this Rashida Tlaib, says that workers must organize and push back against reopening the economy. You heard me right. Here is an enemy within who should be deported, as far as I'm concerned. Listen to her in clip six. You got to hear this. Listen to this.
If you are afraid to go to work, do not go to work. And I know this is hard, but you have no right. You have every right to make sure your life is put first and to fight back. I don't care if it's labor organizing this late in the game or if it's demanding that your life is not treated as if it's disposable, but I want you not to be afraid to go to work. You should not at all ever feel like I don't care if it's a president, I don't care who it is that tells you we need you to go back, we need you to start up back the economy and everything. Your life is much more important.
This is a Democrat. I am speechless to believe this woman is not immediately taken out of Congress, arrested for sedition. I've never heard anything like this. Now, but there's, on the other side, large troubled companies got bailout money and small business loan program. You want to hear about corruption on the other side? You want to hear about it? Because I don't think you want to hear about this. I can ask you, do you think it's time to reopen the businesses and go back? And we can argue over that. Some places, yes. Some places, no. But I want to ask you something. Do you think it was fair? Of course it isn't fair. They should be in jail. Do you know that whoever wrote the rules on this bailout, you know how much the bailout was? I'll give you some names in a few minutes. The vast economic rescue package that President Xi signed into law last month included $349 billion in low-interest loans for small businesses. It was the so-called Paycheck Protection Program, and it was supposed to help prevent small companies, generally those with fewer than 500 employees in the United States only, from capsizing as the economy sank into what looks like a severe depression, right? And the loan program was meant for companies that could not finance themselves through regular means, like raising money in the markets or borrowing from banks or getting credit lines, right? Now, the law required that the federal money comes at a very low 1% interest rate. Some cases doesn't ever have to be paid back. And it should be spent on things like payroll or rent for small businesses. But tell me what happened. What happened is giant companies hired lobbyists who went to congressmen who are gangsters and criminals in office in some cases, actually many more than some cases, and they gave the loans to giant companies. Large companies got the money. Who got the money? Guess what? They wrote the law. They wrote the law stating that the government does not have to disclose who gets the money. It leaves it up to individual companies to decide whether they want to disclose that they obtained loans. Well, what does that mean? Well, applicants for loans did not even have to provide evidence that they had been harmed by the pandemic. All they had to do was certify that, quote, current economic uncertainty makes this loan request necessary to support their operations. And instead of going to the SBA, the Small Business Administration, which is guaranteeing the loans, and let the SBA decide which companies get the funding, listen to this. The gangsters in Congress essentially outsourced this entire program to banks. And the banks collect fees for each loan they make. But the banks do not have to monitor whether the recipients use the money appropriately. Now, who wrote these lax, corrupt rules? Please don't tell me that you know who wrote these corrupt rules. We know a few of them. Let me give you a few names. A company in Georgia paid $6.5 million to resolve a Justice Department investigation. And 2 weeks later, the same company received a $10 million federally backed loan to help it survive the coronavirus crisis. Isn't that nice? Another company, AutoWeb, disclosed last week that it had paid its chief executive $1.7 million in 2019. That's a week after it received $1.4 million from the same loan program. Are you ready for more? And Intellinetics, a software company in Ohio, got $838,000 from the government program and then agreed the following week to spend at least $300,000 to purchase a rival firm. Do you understand what's going on here? Now, I know stories inside the media that will make your hair stand up. I know stories about COOs who leave companies that are teetering on bankruptcy, take millions of dollars in funds, and then leave the company and never pay it back. You want to hear those stories? Do you have any idea how rife these programs are with corruption? You say you don't care, you just want to get back to work, and I really don't blame you. I look around here in the San Francisco area, I see people on boats, running, walking, sailing, bicycling, like they're on a vacation. And in a sense, this is sort of an enforced vacation so far, isn't it? It doesn't really seem like there's a national crisis. After all,
The Nazis are not at the gates. It's not Stalingrad, is it? It's not Stalingrad. I mean, we're really not suffering very much. Big old Uncle Sam is going to bail us out. We have unlimited money, money to burn. They'll print as much as we need. But then you see distant warning systems coming up. They may have to kill 2 million chickens because no one's buying them. They may have to kill 200,000 pigs. They may have to kill millions of cattle. Are you listening to these stories? Kill the cattle, kill the pigs, kill the chickens. Farmers are plowing their crops under. Do you have any idea that the economic bomb has gone off, but you haven't yet felt? Have not felt the shockwaves from this bomb? You're not going to feel them for 3 to 6 months. Vegetables plowed under, pigs killed, cattle killed, chickens killed. Who is running these things? Who? Insanity is running everything. Now, you say, well, what would you do about it, Big Shot? Well, how about common sense? You're going to kill 200,000 pigs because there's no market for them. Couldn't the government purchase the pigs and have them slaughtered and have the meat frozen? Isn't that a possibility? Couldn't the meat from these poor animals be given to nations that are starving right now? There's still starvation on Earth, or marginal survivalists around. It's the same with the chickens. Why did they have to kill the chickens and plow them under? Why can't they kill the chickens and process the chickens? Why? Well, you say there's no one to process the chickens. Nobody wants to work in a slaughterhouse. Nobody wants to work in a chicken slaughterhouse. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody wants to do that. And if you're giving them $600 a week, why do they want to work? Tell me. But then on the other hand, we have much to thank ourselves for. We have Nancy Pelosi, who is a religious woman, very religious woman. And she quotes the Gospel of Matthew, wanting all federal prisoners to be released. Listen to her in clip one if you want to hear what insanity is.
Well, in our caucus, we are very devoted to the Gospel of Matthew. When I was hungry, God, you fed me. When I was homeless, you sheltered me. When I was in prison, you visited me. This for us is a part of our value system. Especially under leadership of our Congressional Black Caucus, Karen Bass, Barbara Lee, and others, there has been a real focus on this. We will have language being developed by the Judiciary Committee to have some order and clarity so that some people can leave who really don't need to be there.
So she's now going to override the judges and release federal prisoners who are in federal prison and put them on the streets. You can only shake your head and say it's far more than the virus right now. The virus of corruption, the virus of greed, the virus of total insanity has raged across the land. And what will be left when all settles down? I read in the San Francisco Chronicle an article by Willie Brown that I will share with you. He, of course, is the power broker of the state of California, very well known in the Democrat circles. And he wrote this. It's very interesting if you listen to the language. Conservative talk radio star Michael Savage has been named to Presidio Trust's board of directors by President Trump. The White House announced Savage's appointment under his non-stage name on March 26th, which happens to have been House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's 80th birthday. That's a coincidence. Savage is a longtime critic of Pelosi, and you could see his appointment as a backhanded presidential present for the San Francisco Democrat, who was a leading force in transforming the former military base into a national park. Willie goes on and says, I've known Michael for years. Well, he will be reflective of everything conservatives would want on that board, but he also has a conservationist streak developed in part from his years of studying and collecting plants. Now, listen to the kicker. Willie Brown writes this. Happy birthday, Nancy. This is one gift that is not returnable.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
Is there anyone amongst my listeners who knows what Netflix is? If you know what Netflix is, what are you watching on Netflix? Everyone's like home doing nothing. You can't work. How many times can you walk around the block with your wife? How many times can you do this till you crack up? Whatever happened to question authority? I have never seen a nation like this in my entire life. I never read about it. An entire nation bowled over by a few petty bureaucrats
listening to everything as though it's the gospel. Today I was on my bicycle, isolated really area, not a country area, but no one's around. And I see a middle-aged woman with a mask on. I had to stop finally. I said, honey, you can't get it in the air. And she said, oh, do you realize what this tells us about the average American? And it's mainly liberals who have caved into this, by the way. You know, there are only six free states in the country. There are only six free states in America. They are the states that never locked down. They are Arkansas, Iowa, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming. They never closed down. They're the only free states in America. Arkansas, Iowa, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Utah, Wyoming. They never closed their states down. Never. It's fictional to believe that we're going through this level of conformity and rolling over to authority. Question authority used to be a motto here in America. There's no questioning of authority. Whatever they tell you, you do. If they told you to jump off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? You know, it's why at times in the past when I've hit stone walls politically or emotionally or mentally, I wrote fiction. And some of it was pretty good. I wrote a thing in the early 80s called Xenon, X-E-N-O-N. And I'm going to read you a little blurb on it. If you go to michaelsavage.com, you can see a book cover for Xenon, which I painted, one of my primitive watercolors. And it's a Kindle edition. It costs a few bucks. It's not going to change my lifestyle one way or the other, but it may entertain you. It also may shock you and frighten you. And what is it about? What is Xenon about? Here it is. I'll give you a little synopsis. Enter the future world state, an anti-utopian new world run by militant FSSs who castrate males, assign them life mates who are transsexual, keeping the unclipped, quote, natural women for the state security forces, SSF, to assist the women in charge, WIC. State mindbogglers, SMs, delete memories and secretly use state gas stores of the noble gases, that's noble, not Nobel, the noble gases to remolecularize their minds, argon, freon, helium, krypton, neon, radon, and xenon. Envisioned and written in the early 1980s, this prophetic fantasy forecast is Michael Savage's semi-serious alarm of a nightmarish future. In the new world, there are no natural free people. This science fiction adventure is considered a masterpiece of wit and dark humor that accurately predicted the direction of the femme-dominated Stalinist states emerging in former Western democracies. Was I wrong? Jim knows I wasn't wrong. We are there. If they told you to do this, you jump off a bridge. Jump off a bridge. I finally got one. All this talk and one caller. Can you believe it? I know that you're listening. Many of you are passive and you listen and you love me and you want to just hear me ramble on. And sometimes I'm brilliant. Sometimes I'm funny. Sometimes I'm irrelevant. Sometimes I'm quite relevant. But in any case, I'm here to entertain you. And that's what you want. We're living in bad times right now. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. I mean, the food chain supply is breaking down. We haven't felt it yet. What if we wake up in 3 months, 6 months, and we see the results of killing the pigs, killing the cows, killing the chickens, and there's no pork, no poultry, no meat in the market? What's going to happen then? I know the hippies will say it's better for everyone's health. I get that. That's what you're going to hear. Then the greenies are going to say we finally have the Green New Deal we've been wishing for, which they do, by the way. Incidentally, they have the Green New Deal. We're actually living through the Green New Deal. This is what it will be like. You'll be walking endlessly with your wife and children and not have $10 in your pocket unless it comes from the government. That's the Green New Deal. Of course, eventually, someone has to pay for it. As Margaret Thatcher famously said, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. And apparently, we are now all socialists, which I did a podcast on about a month ago. We are now all socialists. So don't sit here saying to me, you're a conservative, you believe in small government. There is no small government anymore. It's over for the rest of your life. So tell me what you believe in as a conservative. I really want to know. Tell me what is left of your once conservative mantra. There's no small government. We're living in gigantic government. We're living in a socialist government right now. What is left of the conservative movement? Tell me what it might be. Okay, I can give you some ideas. I started by saying borders, language, culture. Okay. Well, to me, family values, patriotism are eternal truths that will ride through any storm. Patriotism, family values will ride through poverty, ride through disease, will ride through anything. But don't talk to me about the old mantra of limited government. Don't keep repeating the crap you heard from the Reagan era, limited government. What does that mean anymore? Nothing. That's all. So what are you watching on TV? Here's a good caller. He's got nothing to do in Las Vegas. They closed the tables down. Roberto, Las Vegas, line one. Go ahead. I'm on. I'm interested in what you're going to say. At least you got Netflix. You're one of my only members of the audience who has a cable TV in his house.
Yeah, I'm here. This is Roberto.
Yes.
And we finally did cancel Netflix now because we just had enough of the occult, the LGBT, and just the anti-Christian shows they have.
No, it's gotten bad. I've been watching a show called Ozark. It's so dark, I'm having nightmares from it.
I quit watching it. I quit watching...
Did you watch Ozark on Netflix?
Yes, I did. I watched the whole first season.
Can you believe how bad it gets, one segment after another? Murder, mayhem, killing, blood... It's frightening.
Yeah, they fried a guy and his brother right there, and they burned to death and lit up on fire and burned flesh and all that. It's just horrible. But the
it produced nightmares in me. I'm not going to watch any more of the crap.
Me too. Total nightmare stuff. I had.
All right, so we're through with Netflix. Till we're not. Till we're not. What are you watching on Netflix? Anyway, there's another person who actually has a cable TV in their house. I'll bet it's even in color. Jim, would you believe it? I have another listener who might have a color TV. It's hard to believe. Here's a guy in Nebraska has a color TV with a cable connection. I can't believe this. Come on, guys. Can't you understand what sarcasm is? Must you take everything so seriously like it's against you? This is what's happened in America. This is the terrible truth. If I criticized hydroxychloroquine because I knew the science... more than anyone else in the media, and I got up there first and very bravely said, not so fast, it does this, it does that. Then I had an expert on, do you know that many of you attacked me for being anti-Trump when it had nothing to do with Trump? Why do you assume that if I give you the science connected to a drug that was dangerous, it was anti-Trump? Why do you make that assumption? I don't know how the people will survive. We are the most spoiled people on the planet. 20 years of imbecilic newspaper reading, 20 years of empty-headed moronic women with abs and breasts, 20 years of lunkheads showing their abs, and we think that that's the epitome of human existence, is whether or not a person can show you their abs or their bum or their breasts. I've never seen anything like it. And I blame Rupert Murdoch for most of it. He isn't the only one, but he made his fortune by basically putting the burlesque theater onto a newspaper. And as a result, the mind is destroyed in America, completely warped. There were people before him. And then you have the communists on the other side peddling Marxism like it's something wonderful, not telling you about the 100 million deaths that result, or the famine or starvation. I don't think this country is strong enough to take famine. I don't think the country is strong enough to take anything, frankly. I don't know how the country survives. I know there are pockets of strength. They produce our sons that go to war. But by and large, the country is weak. It's made of nothing. It's mush. Old women walking around with COVID masks on in the middle of an airy yacht harbor, thinking that it's in the air. They're going to get it from the miasma. The women don't even know what Leeuwenhoek is. They never understood that a microscope in the 1600s by Leeuwenhoek showed what a germ was. They still think it flies around in the air like a miasma, bad air. This is the nation.
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
And now let's go on to the other stories that we've been talking about, which is entertainment, television, what you're watching on TV. And... can't they stop it? Can't the low-life starlets and the empty-headed goons with the barbell stop already showing us their abs and their behinds? I can't stand it. Can't the country outgrow these schmucks, these nobodies, these zeros, these empty heads? You know, all these jerks who do a reality show, then the reality show is canceled. Well, what's for them next? A striptease in the New York Post looking to get a car show?
where she can lean over the hood of a car poking at a wire while displaying her jeans from behind with some guy with like a crack beard behind her. A crank beard. I hate those beards, those skimpy beards. Sorry, it's probably the core of my listenership. I shouldn't say that. Come on, I just got to let out some steam here. Homeland, thank God it's over. Did it stink? Boy, did that show stink. Can Claire Danes leave us alone with the schizo face already? That any minute she's going to have another nervous breakdown? Do I care? How many times can they... How many years did you waste watching that show? What garbage. And I'm never going to watch the end. I watched it. I shouldn't have. I knew I shouldn't. Nightmares from it. Ozark on Netflix. There's nothing. Then there's another one I was watching. Every one of them bums me out. Even the Israeli show Fauda stank in season 3. I can't explain it. Season 1 of the Israeli Secret Service, you know, was great. Season 2 was okay. Season 3 was, I don't know already. Something about the lead star who was really a member of the Israeli Secret Service. As a hero making love to a... Oh, please. Did they have to show... You know, the Israelis cannot make a movie showing any romance in it. It doesn't work. They're good at war. They could show war. They could show depression, angst. Things like that are good in Israeli movies. But when they try to show lovemaking or love, forget about it. They're not into it. They're not Italy. On the other hand, Italy can only do love movies. They can never do a war movie, Italy. It's impossible. But it's just cultural. It's a cultural difference. So what are you watching? Or what do you want to say today on the Savage Nation? Got some good calls in this. People finally want to talk about entertainment. They're sick and tired of talking about the lockdowns, the unlockdowns, the locks on lockdowns. What are you eating on lockdowns? Is it a lockdown or a lockdown? You can't even get a good locks anymore anyway. What's the difference? It's all in a package made by some gonif in Texas, not in Brooklyn. But forget about it. The food that I'm eating is totally different now. What are you going to do? Kill all the pigs? Okay, I don't eat pig. I'm not kosher, but I don't eat pig. You know why I don't eat pig? I feel bad for the pig. They're too intelligent. I don't eat pig. Another animal I don't eat. I don't like eating a lobster because I think of the lobster, how smart it is. I don't want to eat it. So I stopped eating. I can't think like the consciousness of the animals getting into me. So, okay, say I'm getting older and I'm thinking, I'm not alone. I know a guy who fought in 6 wars. He can take you and wrap you around his finger. Don't tell me it's weakness to have sympathy for animals, please. I know a guy who fought in 6 wars, killed a lot of people, and he said he won't eat anything that was living. So don't tell me that because I'm feeling these things, I'm weak. Las Vegas, David, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, David?
Hey, I'm watching a show called The Plot Against America.
Yeah. I promoted it 2 weeks ago. You like it?
I think it's pretty good, but there's a lot of similarities to Trump. They make Lindbergh seem like Trump.
Yeah. That's when I stopped watching. I'm glad you saw that. David, I watched it by accident, The Plot Against America, and I thought it was so literate. It was written so well. I didn't know why. Then I realized it was based on the Philip Roth novel, which I went and bought, right? So the first 2 or 3 were superb. But then I started to see what they were doing, exactly what you said. Go on, elucidate more.
Yeah, well, it's into the seventh episode now, so now they've gotten kind of past that a little bit, so I'm interested to see if it's going to remain. But, you know, I like...
Right, Lindbergh, they make believe Lindbergh, by the way, a true American hero, one of America's great heroes. They turn him into a quasi-Nazi, incidentally, because he was an isolationist. They try to make believe he was a Nazi sympathetic to Hitler. And that's number one. First, they smear a true American hero, Charles Lindbergh. Number two, they don't even show the kidnapping of his infant child and his murder. They leave that out because it might have created a little sympathy. So that was the beginning of the yellow journalism of it. But then I started to see what they were doing. Lindbergh ran on a Republican ticket against the great FDR, in their mind, the great FDR. And then to try to show that, yes, I can hear the Make America Great Again analogies and, yeah, the crossover to Trump. I saw it.
Yeah.
So I stopped watching after 4. I couldn't take it anymore. But I love the sets in the beginning, the family, the hardworking insurance salesman father, the 2 kids, the mother, you know, and the fear and all that, living in this isolated Jewish community in Newark, New Jersey in 1939. The cars, the teacups, the dresses, you know, I kind of related to that. It was so well staged. I mean, what do you call it? The set director, whoever who does that stuff. Who the costume designers, wow, are they good, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what else are you watching that's worth watching?
Yes, another one is Westworld on HBO. That one's pretty crazy.
Others have told me about it. I've never liked the original Westworld with the bald guy. Wasn't Yul Brynner in the first Westworld movie?
Yeah.
What's so good about Westworld?
It makes you think about what if you met your creator and your creator wasn't as smart as you.
Say it again. If what?
So the premise to me is, what if you met your creator and your creator was not as smart as you?
Oh, God, don't say that. That's my worst nightmare. I meet God and I'm smarter than him.
Yeah, you're smarter than your creator.
Oh, no, that could only be written by a communist from Hollywood. No, that's fabulous. I hope God's listening. I hope he gives me an extra couple of years for that one. Thank you, God. No, come on. Who could write that but a whacked out drug addict from Hollywood? Who could come up with that one? Only he would think that he dies, and what if he's smarter than God? I love that. That's so great. That's funny. That is really good. Who else could write that but some guy from Hollywood who's stoned all of the time? Okay, Texas. Let's go to Texas now. The sun shines east, the sun shines west, deep in the heart of Texas. Jim's laughing because my guys are in Texas. They're in Dallas. I look at them every day here on Skype. Jim's running the calls. Robert's running the board. It's like I'm in the room with them. But thank God that we can't get COVID from each other. We've been working at home for years now. I never met them. I'm working with them for 5 years. I never met either of them. Never. This is beautiful because I don't care what they're wearing, really. I could see a little bit from the Skype camera, but I don't care if they're eating. I don't smell the food. We won't get into the other, you know, stuff that human beings are known for. Because I originally started in radio on KSFO, and it was a dirty studio. Oh, was it filthy in the old days? Oh, God. And I followed someone who left it like a stink house. I used to have to go in there. I had 4 minutes between the time this person left and I sat in the chair. I refused to sit in her chair. I made them wheel another chair in because I felt like I was going to die if I sat in that chair of stink. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. I can't stand other people's body odor. So I've been working at home from a distance for many years now. It's actually a pleasure. It's just me alone in the house. I have only me to blame if I don't like what I'm seeing or smelling. Jim, you know I'm not ridiculing, right? You know that we get along great. And I'd love to take you guys out for pizza and beer tonight, but unfortunately we can't do it. What do you think? What's going on? There's another one calling about another Netflix show. No one wants to do the serious stuff. Like, is it time to end the lockdown? Which companies are ripping off the loan program? You don't really care about that. A Virginia preacher believed God can heal anything, then he caught coronavirus. See, this is it's a sad story, but no, God cannot heal anything. No, I'm sorry. I told you that when I wrote God, Faith, and Reason. You see, you don't understand what I was trying to say. If you hear that I wrote a book called God, Faith, and Reason, you think I'm like trying to sell you on a religion or a belief system. It's not what I did in the book, which is why it's a work of genius that should win every prize possible. But I'm not a politician. God, Faith, and Reason is a book that says the man who wrote it is looking for God and never found him, but he's never given up looking. And it's about a man who says he's never met God. He's seen snapshots, but not the movie, right? And I then write about the power of the searcher, because to me, the search is the success. That's all. I believe in the higher power. It doesn't mean I met the higher power, nor do I want to sell anything to you based upon the higher power. I've had glimpses of God. That's all. Nothing else. So for Nancy Pelosi, to get back to my bete noire, to quote the Gospel of Matthew as though you believe a word that this woman prays to God, how could she get away with this? When she says she quotes the Gospel of Matthew in calling for federal prisoners to be released from prison. I never saw anything like this. She prays, by the way. Listen to her in clip two. You're not going to believe the madness of Queen Nancy. Listen to O2.
But first, let me just say, watching your report and the rest, how much we pray for everyone in our country,
pray.
Those who have lost their lives. When businesses are opening, I don't know. I think that's unfortunate because we're not protecting the investment that we have made, but that's a choice.
Are you listening to
this? And I pray
this?
For those people, too, that they do not get sick. So this is always very, very sad.
Well, I think when she says pray, she may be telling the truth, but she's spelling it a different way.
I think she preys on those people, P-R-E-Y. I don't think she P-R-A-Y's for them. She preys on the stupid in San Francisco. She preys on the idiot liberals who think that she means does good for them. She's classic liberal.
Home of borders, language, culture, the Savage Nation.
We're talking about should everything be reopened, and I'm saying question authority. And I don't see anyone other than the militia types. They're the only ones who've been questioning authority. And there's a middle ground. I've been trying to preach the middle ground, and I get slammed on both sides by that. The middle ground is you reopen the states, you reopen the counties that have low or no COVID disease. But the governors, it's an all or nothing approach. One size fits all to Governor Newsom. And I've been communicating with his office. He's open to listening. I try to communicate with the Trump people. I get like a dead letter box. And frankly, I know more about it than Fauci does. Fauci is a 40-year hack of the NIH. He was a failure during the AIDS epidemic. He's nothing but a politician. He would close the country down forever just to hold on to his power. He's like a Soviet Politburo member, a health minister who suddenly has all this power and he doesn't want to let go of it. Dr. Scoff, same thing, an unknown bureaucrat from the woodwork. She's going to control whether you go back to work or not, right? For 4 weeks, I've been saying doing a rolling reopening. Stop this madness of one size fits all, right? Is it time to reopen everything? And we just had a man on who brought us science and logic on the Savage Nation saying it's time to start easing the lockdowns. And I don't want to sit here and say, yeah, I was right. Of course I've been right. But I have no political pull. They don't listen to you unless you have some kind of juice or grease in the wheels of politics. It's not run by logic. It's not run by decency. It's not run by the common good at all. So there it is. That's the story. So if you're a small business suffering and you can't get a dime, welcome to the club. It's because you can't buy your way in, whether it's into the state or into the federal government. And we've talked about that. And I really feel bad for the people with the small businesses who are going to lose their businesses while large troubled companies got bailout money that was meant specifically for you. They stole it, in other words. They robbed the money that was meant for you. And here we are. Carol, you'll have the last word before I close the show. You're calling from Texas, Carol. What's on your mind? Carol, are you there?
No, yes, Mr. Savage, thank you very much. I wish I knew what to say. I feel like it is definitely time to reopen America, and it should have never been shut down to the degree it was, and all over in the places that it has been. It has caused 30 and 40 years businesses that it took to build to go out of business. We'll never see them open their doors again. I don't care how much taxpayers' money that they throw at them. I don't want to focus.
I agree. You're right. I agree with you. Family businesses that were handed down will be destroyed forever. Now we read the food supply chain is breaking, according to Tyson Foods, as they've had to close their plants. When is that ever going to come back? If they slaughter millions of cattle, millions of birds, millions of pigs, how are we ever going to get that food back into the chain?
It will not come back.
It will not come back. It will not. And, you know, look, people just want to think tomorrow, and Carol, we're out of time. People are going to say, I don't want to hear negative news. I just want to go roller skating tonight. I want to go running around the block like all will be well. I wish that were true. But believe me, I will leave you with an adage I learned when I was a young boy by reading Aldous Huxley, which is, in times of strength, prepare for times of weakness. In times of strength, prepare for times of weakness. I have preached that to my children since they're little children. In times of strength, prepare for times of weakness. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed and learned something from it. And I want to remind you of something that I think is important for you to know. We have over 280 Savage Nation podcast episodes available to you absolutely free. I'll say that again. You can go back into this vast library of over 280 episodes and listen to any one of them or several of them at your leisure. So you never have to be without the Savage Nation. Thank you very much for listening.